Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you, we thank you for your glory revealed in the one Jesus Christ. Help us to reflect on that glory and to may it be part of us. May we know you and your Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of your Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen. This Thursday was Ascension Day. We've not marked it this year with a service, but it's not to devalue its importance in the church calendar. So despite this morning's title, The Prayers of Jesus, I want to start by talking about Jesus' ascension and its importance. Thursday of last week, on the church WhatsApp group, we were treated to Where's Wally's photos, as we often are, aka Robert's perambulations in the course of his work and celebration of Evensong in various of our glorious cathedrals around the country. I often guess the wrong cathedral, but this time there was no doubt, as I saw the wonderful photo of Graham Sutherland's great tapestry, The Risen Christ Seated in Glory in Coventry Cathedral. I suggest you have a look at it on the internet if you're not familiar with it. So why do I mention this? Well, as a 23 metre tall, 12 metre wide tapestry weighing a ton and dominating the cathedral nave, it gives us a physical reminder of the importance of ascension as the risen Christ returns to his Father and is seated as King of Kings in heavenly glory. Our gospel reading from John ends in verse 11 with Jesus praying these words, "I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." On the night before his death, Jesus prays for himself, his disciples, and for those who had come to put their faith and trust in him. He makes it clear he is returning to his Father. But not in the sense that we might say of a fellow believer's death, that they've gone to glory or even gone home. No, he was returning to his Father as the risen Christ, not dead, but fully and physically alive. In fact, more alive than we can ever imagine. When we turn to our reading in Acts, we see that the disciples met together on the top of the Mount of Olives with the risen Jesus. Across the valley sat Jerusalem and the temple, the place where heaven and earth meet, the place where the Messiah was to come to reign as Israel's king and restore the kingdom of God. And yet the Romans were still there, occupying the city, occupying the land. The disciples, still confounded by his resurrection and what it all means, asked Jesus, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" I last spoke at Ascension in 2020 during the lockdown, and it wouldn't have been me standing here, but it would have been on video. But in that talk, I likened the disciples' question to the one we were all asking at the time. When will it all end? When will it all end? Well, we might ask the same question with all that is going on in the world at present, and particularly with the political instability of the past week. But Jesus, with a reminder of what he had told his disciples at the same spot only a few weeks before, says this: It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Jesus is reminding them that his return is in his Father's hands. His return to reign, yes, as Israel's king, but also as King of Kings, King over all. Yes, Jesus has been enthroned as King by his resurrection ascension. He is now King of Kings, but somehow not yet. Jesus has all the authority to reign, but he promises power. Power that will be received when the Holy Spirit comes 10 days later at Pentecost. The Greek word for power used here is dunamis. It is the word from which we get our word dynamite. You see, the disciples are going to need that dynamite, that explosive power to do what Jesus commands them to do. He says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." But when a Roman emperor took his throne, heralds would be sent out all over the empire to announce there was a new emperor. This is what the disciples are now being called to be heralds or witnesses to the fact there is a new king and that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Holy Spirit will baptize them with such power that within the space of 30 years, the time period of the book of Acts, the good news of Jesus will have spread across the Mediterranean and to a large part of the Roman Empire. On leaving them that command, Jesus is taken up bodily in a cloud. Has he gone into heaven? Yes and no. Heaven is not a place up there when we die. Heaven is where God is. Another reality, but just as real as here. Yes, we go to be with him where Jesus is. But the important thing to recognize here is the importance of the cloud. In the Bible, this is always seen as a sign of God's presence. Daniel's vision prophesies what is to come. And this is from chapter 7 of Daniel, verse 13 and 14. "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." The two men dressed in white that stand by the disciples as they gaze into the sky make it clear that this is the place to which and how Jesus will return. You see, it is not about us going to heaven for eternity, but because God wants to be with his people, heaven will come to earth. But where does that leave us this morning? Well, do you notice what the disciples do after this has happened? Luke tells us they returned to where they were staying in Jerusalem. There they joined with the women, Mary the mother of Jesus, and all his brothers, and they were together constantly in prayer. constantly in prayer. You see, to be Jesus' followers, we're called to be a people of worship and prayer. Why might that be so? Well, it is when we are in worship and prayer here on earth, the reality that we experience here and now, that we can find ourselves sharing in the life of heaven where Jesus is. But how often do our prayers represent a long list of requests or petitions to God? The Hebrew or biblical approach to prayer is not so much to try to influence God, but rather the opposite, to let Him influence us. If in prayer and worship we declare our thankfulness towards God, will we not find we have much to be thankful for? If in prayer and worship we declare the mighty works of God, will we not learn to fear, that is, to hold Him in reverent awe? Will we not learn to depend on Him? If in praying for others, will we not remember all that God has done for us? In our reading from John chapter 17, we see Jesus and the disciples in the upper room the night before His death. Firstly, He prays for Himself, and in a way that His disciples will hear and be encouraged. He prays, "Father, the time has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You. For You granted Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those You have given Him." The key word here is glorify. He goes on to say that He has glorified the Father already by completing what He had come to do. He asks that He be glorified in the Father's presence with the glory He had from creation. And do we remember those well-remembered words of John right at the beginning? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and was God." But we see that glory too in His ascension, the completion of Daniel's vision. But what do we mean by glory? What do we mean by glory? My late friend Johnny Wright, who spoke a number of times at our men's breakfast, had a great mnemonic on the word glory. God's love outpoured, revealed in Yeshua. Yeshua being the Hebrew equivalent of Jesus. God's love outpoured, revealed in Yeshua. As Jesus prays, He recognizes the authority that the Father has given Him over all to bring eternal life to all those the Father has given Him. So what does that mean? Well, Jesus tells us in His prayer that eternal life is not about going to a place up there, but a relationship to be had in the here and now and in eternity with the Father and His Son Jesus, the one He has given authority to and whom He has sent. A relationship where we can know God personally through the power of the Holy Spirit, through Him coming to live within us. And who are those that the Father has given Him? Well, those who have responded to the Holy Spirit's calling to put their faith and trust in Jesus and what He has done. Jesus continues His prayers for His disciples. And there are two things I noticed. Firstly, He recognizes that glory has come to Him through them, through His disciples. My old friend Johnny liked to go one better with the glory mnemonic. If we are if we are to get excited about glorifying God in our worship, he would say it is glory. In other words, God's love outpoured, revealed in Yeshua, in you. God's love outpoured, revealed in Yeshua, in you. You see, they have believed that the Father had sent him. They accepted his words and obeyed him. Well, then secondly, he prays that they are one, just as he and the Father are one. You see, unity is important. So where does that leave us, this ascension tide? We might feel discouraged and disheartened by how things are. We might, however, be encouraged by the possibilities of what God the Holy Spirit could do with this remnant here in Necton. However, I believe we need to ask these questions. Do we have unity as a church, as a body of believers? And what might that mean? Do we see the dunamis, the explosive power of the Holy Spirit amongst us? Do we give him the glory he is due? Where is the glory? At the heart of the answers to these questions will be the quality of our prayer and worship, our prayer and worship life together and as individuals. As individuals, what time do we spend in prayer each day? More importantly, how much of it do we spend just thanking God and worshiping him? Are we prepared to join with others in prayer, not just on Sunday morning, but midweek on Zoom and perhaps at house group and other times? We may not feel able to pray out aloud, but it is all right to be there praying in silence. We need to give more time to thankfulness and praise. And finally, on whom are we going to center our worship and prayer and praise? So finally, know this morning that the risen Jesus, the King of Kings, has ascended to his Father, that the Son of Man has approached the Ancient of Days. Glory! For as we celebrate Pentecost next Sunday, we remember the Holy Spirit has come in power to revive and restore and to send us out to our Jerusalems, our Judeas, our Samarias, and the ends of our worlds. Praise and thanksgiving be to our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.